This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu as-salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatin lil'alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. اليوم 18 من شهر شعبان 1444 الموافق ل 11 من شهر مارس 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today inshallah we continue to discuss the hadith of Salman ibn Buraida. عن أبيه عن عائشة قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أمر أميرا على جيش أو سرية أوصاه في خاصته بتقوى الله وبمن معه من المسلمين خيرا إلى آخر الحديث. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, usually whenever he sent al-Amir, he will ask him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within himself and also to fear Allah in his leadership, to be good and kind to those who are under his control. And also he laid down rules upon which this Amir is going to be fighting the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you remember last time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them the battle should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also they are supposed to focus on those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also they shouldn't mutilate anyone, they shouldn't deceive, they shouldn't cheat, and also they shouldn't do the ghulul. You know, ghulul means if the ghanima is being taken by the believers, you know, nobody is allowed to take it before it is distributed to the combatants, and that portion is taken back to Medina for the fuqara and the needy. And also, they're not supposed to kill children, they're not supposed to kill sisters, and all of these things that you already know, we discussed them last week. So Al-Amir al-San'ani said, "Fil hadithi masai." This hadith contains lessons, okay, issues. Number one, قال دل الحديث على أنه إذا بعث الأمير من يغزو أوصاه بتقوى الله وبمن يصحبه من المهاجرين خيرا. We learn from this that the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to any Amir that he sent, he will ask him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also to fear Allah in his leadership, to be kind to the muhajirin and the ansar, those people who are with him. ثم يخبره بتحريم الغلول. So this is applicable, you know, up to this moment, right? Any Amir that is sending a jaysh, he should do this in the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Yeah, because we have to be different from the kuffar. Yeah, they don't care. Yeah, and the point is just to defeat and to kill anyone, and also to mutilate, to put anger in us, you know, to make us annoyed, to hurt us. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدُّ مَا عَنِتُ قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورِهِمْ أَكْبَرُ. And subhanAllah, Muslims yani neglected this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us there is no way for them to love us. Any love you see from a kafir is fake. There is no way for them to agree and to be pleased with us. Allah says, لَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Yeah. The only thing they agree with is to follow their religion. As long as you're not going to follow their religion, they will never be pleased with you. Yeah. And nowadays we neglected this ayah, that's why we get into trouble. Yeah. But there is no trust between the Muslim and the kafir at all. We don't cheat them. We don't harm them. We are supposed to give them what they deserve. But when it comes to our rights, this is something else. So Islamically, that trust is supposed to be only given for the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. What we see actually is, it's much little, you know, in comparison to that which is in their heart. Yeah. And the enemies of today can tell us this more and more. So he sent the Amir and advised him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ يُخْبِرُهُ بِتَحْرِيمِ الْغُلُولِ مِنَ الْغَنِيمَةِ And then he is supposed also to tell the Amir, it is haram for anyone to do ghulul. That means when the ghanima is taken, everyone has to stay away from it and wait first until the time it is distributed. And then they can take. So he has to follow these steps, in a way the Prophet ﷺ used to do. تحريم الغدر and also he has to tell him that it is not halal for a person to cheat and deceive. وتحريم المثلى and he has to tell him that مثلى mutilation is haram. Yeah? If they're doing this wrong thing, we shouldn't do the wrong thing. وتحريم المثلى and مثلى is haram. وتحريم قتل صبيان المشركين and also the kids are not supposed to be killed. وهذه محرمات بالإجماع. These are all haram by consensus of all the scholars that these things are prohibited. ويدل على أنه يدعو الأمير المشركين إلى الإسلام قبل قتالهم وظاهره وإن كان قد بلغتهم الدعوة لكنها مع بلوغها تحمل على الاستهباب. He says, and also we learned from this hadith that it is wajib upon the Amir to invite the enemies to Islam first before he fights them. He has to invite them first to Islam. And according to this hadith, the literal meaning of this hadith, that this invitation is wajib even if they already got the invitation before. Somebody invited them to Islam before. Now you are going to fight them, you have to renew it. You have to do it one more time. That's what appears from the meaning, although many scholars said this meaning is not intended. It is only applicable on those who did not receive da'wah yet. So that's why Al-Amir Sanani says, we take it as wajib upon the Amir to invite the enemies to Islam if they did not get the da'wah before. But if they get the da'wah, then we take it as mustahab. It is mustahab recommended, for you to invite them again, before you start engaging in fighting them. قال كما دل له إغارته صلى الله عليه وسلم على بني المصطلق وهم غارون وإن وجب دعاء. He says we learn from this. We learn this from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he, he attacked and also raided the city of Banu al-Mustalib. وَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, we are not told that he invited them to to Islam. But those ones are next to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. They know that da'wah reached them. And they were planning actually to go against Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. That means they know him. And they know who he is and what exactly is he calling for. وفيه دليل على دعائهم إلى الهجرة بعد إسلامهم. And also we learned from this hadith that we are supposed to invite them to migrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بعد إسلامهم when they accepted Islam. Yeah. And non-Muslim accepted Islam and he's living in a village or non-Muslim dominant place. We have to tell him, migrate and come and live with the Muslims. It's better for him in every sense. من حيث التعلم, he will learn the religion more and more. And also when it comes to protection, he will be more protected when he is with the Muslims. And also privileges. Yeah, he will be sharing the privileges with the Muslimi. Yeah. And also he is doing what is called takthiru sawad al-Muslimi, increasing the size and the population of the Muslimi. And this is really necessary because having a big size is a sign of strength and power. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَلِيلُ مُسْتَضَعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَثَّرَكُمْ And Shu'aib was telling his people, he said, you should remember, you used to be little in terms of amount, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imtanna ala bani Israel, he told them, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَثِيرًا. Yeah, and we make you more. So up to date, you know, having huge and big population is a power and strength in every sense. Yeah, that's why the enemies don't want this to happen, especially with the Muslims. They can let others, you know, see this, you know, and do this, but with the Muslims, no. Because they know that we value it and we're going to utilize it properly. And if we have this huge amount of number, among us, you have smart people who are going to lead the ummah to the success, which they will never accept this to happen. That's why they come with so many things such as family planning, you know, advising you not to have more than children or not to marry. You know, you have to wait until this year, and also you have to control the amount of the children you are having, which is totally and absolutely against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So don't be deceived by any of these propagandas and claims. وَفِيهِ دَلِيلُ عَلَىٰ دُعَائِهِمْ إِلَى الْهِجْرَةِ. So hijrah is wajiba and also is continuous act of worship until the day of judgment. بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ وَهُوَ مَشْرُوعٌ نَدْبًا بِدَلِيلِ مَا فِي الْحَدِيثِ مِنَ الْإِذْنِ لَهُمْ فِي الْبَقَاءِ. So we learn from the hadith that if they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is mustahab for them to migrate. Yeah, if they can worship Allah, it is mustahab for them to migrate to another place. How do we know that it is mustahab? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, told the Amir to invite them to the Muslim territories, but if they refuse, then let them stay in their own place, but tell them, we are not responsible. And also, they don't have any portion from any ganima we get in any of the battles. No privileges. Yeah, they are on their own. But when he let them stay, that means it is not obligatory. Because if it is wajib, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell the Amir to inform them that they have to leave to the Muslim territory. But this one is restricted to the situation whereby they are able to practice their religion. If they are not able to practice their religion, then hijrah is wajib. They have to leave. Because the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them is to worship Him alone. وَفِيهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْغَنِيمَةَ وَالْفَيْئَ لَا يَسْتَحِقُّهَا إِلَّا الْمُهَاجِرُونَ وَأَنَّ الْأَعْرَابَ لَا حَقَّ لَهُمْ فِيهَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَحْضُرُوا الْجِهَادِ. So we learn from this that ghanima and the fay, nobody deserves it except al-muhajirun. And also the Arab, the Bedouins, they are not supposed to be included in the ghanima at all. You get it? They are not supposed to be included in the ghanima at all. So who deserves the who deserves the ghanima? The muhajirun. Now this one, unless if they participate in the others, the Ansar, if they participated in the jihad. And here when he says muhajirun, a'taqid annahu lit-taghlib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the fate, only one.
Sorry, my body is very weak.
Up on the floor, the bones start pain.
Yeah, أصبح عجوز في صغر سنه. ما بين فعله.
But I don't see you worrying, so maybe I'm the only one of us. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those people who deserve the ghanima. He says, الفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله. أولئك هم الصادقون. So مهاجرون, right? And then he talk about the second category who deserve the ghanima and the fay, especially the fay. He said, والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يكشح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. And then he says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. So three categories. Yeah.
That's why Imam Malik said, this shows that Shia doesn't have a portion in the faith. Yeah, because he says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ هَؤُلَا يَسُبُّونَهُ. They curse, you know. وجد من فيهم, they found one of them who was saying, اللهم إني أتوصل إليك بلعن أبي بكر وعمر. يا الله سبحانه الله. He says, يتوصل إلى الله بلعن أبي بكر وعمر. والله هذه جرأة, you know what we call جرأة, جرأة, you know, إلى الله, تخاطب تخاطب الله عز وجل هكذا. He's saying that he's making توصل to Allah سبحانه وتعالى through cursing أبو بكر وعمر. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى أن يهدي أقولهم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says إنهم إلا كالأنعام بل هم أضل سبيلا. One of the best example I found for this ayah are these people. You Allah, because said animal, if you're kind to them, even dog, if you're kind to the dog, it will harm everyone. You will see the dog chasing everyone. But the owner hit him, smack him, chase him away, and still bow down, you know. Why? Because of the kindness between them, you know. Animal, dabba, dabba, dabba. But those one, the companions liberated them from the darkness of kufr and zulm and brought them to the justice of Islam. And they are telling you that they don't know how to practice the religion, they are kuffar. They said only three are Muslims. All the companions of the Prophet are only three. Some of them are very generous. They put three more, six. The rest are all kuffar. Okay, anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. So Imam Malik said, they don't have a portion in there. This is a very good opinion. They cannot be given that ghanima at all. Why? Because they are not among those people who are asking Allah to show mercy on the muhajirin and ansar. So most likely when he says al-ghanimatu al-fa'a la yastahiqquha illa al-muhajirun, he's referring to those people who, in relation to the one who is staying in his village. Either you come to the Muslim community, then you deserve, or you stay in your village, then you have no portion to it, unless if you fight with the Muslimin. But as for the Ansar and the Muhajirin who are living in Medina with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so al-Muhajirun huna takun li at-taghlib. Both of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the ghanima, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave the ghanima. And that's the reason why in the Battle of Hunayn, the Ansar got annoyed. SubhanAllah, you're dealing with the best when it comes to political, affairs and approaches. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He heard that the Ansar are very angry. Why? Because he did not give them anything from the Ghanima. He gave Muhajirin and he gives Mu'allafat Qulubuhum. He would come and Abu Sufyan or Abbas, one of them, the Prophet ﷺ gave him until the time he cannot lift up the gold or silver or whatever wealth was given to him. You know, he was saying, Ya Rasulullah, that's so funny. He said, Ya Rasulullah, help me. He said, no, you carry by yourself. You Allah, I found it very interesting. He said, Ya Rasulullah, help. He said, no, you carry by yourself. Yeah, this is dunya. Take what you need. No, yeah, taking everything. He couldn't carry, but he doesn't know how to deal with the rest, you know. He said, Ya Rasulullah, please help. He said, no. You do it by yourself. Another one came, the Prophet said, told him, Tara hadhi al-aghnam? From here up to that mountain, they're all yours. Say, what do you mean? He doesn't believe, you know. He said, you mean mine? He said, yeah, yes. You mean I take it? He said, yes, take it. SubhanAllah, he took it, you know. As one of the speakers was saying, he took it, but he was looking behind to see whether the Prophet will ask somebody to bring it back. So he went back to his people, and then he said, what? Ya qawm, aslimu. He said, people, right after he reached his qabila, his tribe, he told them, people, wallahi, accept Islam. He said, what? He said, جِئْتُكُمْ مِنْ عِنْدِي رَجُلٍ يُعْطِي عَطَاءً مَنْ لَا يَخْشَ الْفَقْرِ. He said, I'm coming from a person who gives a gift of somebody who is not afraid of poverty.
So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during that battle, because he gave a lot, because they got a lot, this إذا أراد الله شيئا هيئ له أسباب. You know that Qaid al-Taif is a young person who believes that, and it has the same mentality of our own people nowadays, who believe that we don't need to benefit from the Salaf al-Saleh. Yeah, that's what they are saying. We're living in the 21st century. Okay, still there. Okay, we're living in this time, but it is not appropriate for us to go back to those Qurun al-Wusta, they call them. To go back to those Qurun. What are we going to benefit from them? Yeah, we need to do. Yeah. I know a person who told a student that when you want to succeed in your research, a PhD student, he said, when you want to, and smile, I guess not, he called me that student. When he was doing his PhD, somebody told him, if you want to succeed, you have to detach yourself from the fuqaha and the previous scholars. Come and start from the scratch. And this person, Yuhsab Alayna, is one of those who speak on our behalf in the media. Big, big, big person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yahdihu wa yusliha ahwalahu. He used to fight people when they dressed well. He's alim. He has the scholarship, but exaggerated and goes beyond the limit and focus more on what they call creativity. So that person, he wanted to fight, but he initiated new method of fighting that his aql tells him this one works. Durayd, I think that's the name of the old guy who left. It's one of the old fighters in Taif. He managed to join the battle. But then when he comes, he found in the battle of the non-Muslims, he heard the kids are screaming, babies, and children and sisters. He asked them, are we going for a wedding or are we going for battle? They told him, no, we're going for battle. So he said, I want to see the Amir. The Malik came, young man. He told him, where are we going? He said, we are going to the battlefield. He said, like this? He said, yes. He said, why? He said, this is new strategy. He said, what is the purpose? What is the justification? Those ones, they need to know what is the justification. If it makes sense to them, they will let it pass, He said, why are you doing this? He said, because this sister is a sister of this person. And this one is the daughter of this person. And this boy is the son of this person. Since they were there in the battlefield, they know that if they run away, the enemy will take everything. So they will never run. That will be a very good motivation for them to remain firmly, established at the battlefield. They will never run away. That man hit him. He says, wake up. He says, son, I have witnessed battles. I will tell you one thing. In the battlefield, if the soldier is scared, nothing can take him back to the battlefield. Take them back. If we win, that's it. If we don't win, at least we have our dhariya to keep continuing, to keep moving. He said, let them stay back. He said, no, you're too old. The system of yours is already. Subhanallah, إذا أراد الله شيئا هيئ له أسباب. Yeah, so he doesn't listen to him, And they're almost going to be in shiqaq in Jaysh al-Ta'ifi. They're almost going to be in shiqaq, those who follow this. At the end of the day, he submitted to the younger person. Yeah, he told them, this is the battle that I did not witness. He was there. He said, this is the battle that I consider that I did not witness. And then he told him, since you agree, you don't want to agree with me. The sisters and the kids, please put them at the end of the jaysh. Put them at the end. So that when the Muslims see them, they will think that these are all, soldiers, right? Yeah, it will be a huge amount. They might get scared. He said, don't put them in front, because if you put them in front, they already know who they are, but put them behind. So that the number will be increased, but in reality, they are small in size. And subhanAllah, that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the ghanima to the Muslims. A Muslim won the battle at the end of the day. The first part of it, they lost because of the feelings and approach, which says that لَنُغْلَبْ مِنْ من قلة. ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغني عنكم شيئا. Because wallahi, the size is not the, what you call, the cause for the victory. It's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the angels, when they came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعْلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرًا. He says the angels, he told us that angels are there just to give you good news. But مَنْ نَصُرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. The victory is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even with the angels, if Allah doesn't want, we will never win. So when they started thinking in that way, they forgot who they were before, because in almost every battle they were the minority, and in every battle they won. But now, since they see themselves around 12,000, they said, لَنُغْلَوْ مِنْ قِلَّةٍ. Nobody can defeat us because of our size. And then Allah SWT taught them a lesson. At the first part of the battle, when they see the arrows coming like grasshoppers, like ants, you know, they run, leaving the Prophet ﷺ with a few, Al-Abbas, Abu Sufyan, and some few others. He himself, when he, from 12,000, only like a few of them were next to him. He says, أَنَا النَّبِيُّ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا ابْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Prophet ﷺ said this, and then he advised Al-Abbas to go and invite the Muslims, and they came back. So at the end of the day, when they came back, alhamdulillah, they fought back and they won the battle. They got a lot. So all of those kids, all of those sisters, you know, and the wealth, they brought their wealth. They don't come alone. They brought a lot of wealth. Because he think your wealth is here, your family are here, you will never run. And exactly what that old man told him, this is what happened. They run and they left. They left the sisters and they left the money and they left everything. So the Prophet ﷺ got everything and he distributed. He started giving people free and things. And subhanAllah, because it is so much, and the Prophet ﷺ kept on making gift, the believers and the Bedouins, you know, they started disturbing the Prophet ﷺ, you know, until the time somebody held his garment, so it fell down. And then the Prophet ﷺ got very angry. He said, Ruddu alayya ridai. He said, please give me back my... Because throughout the way they're telling, Ya Rasulullah, the ghanima, we need to have ours, you know. It is with you guys then. Wait first until you reach Medina. No, they are impatient. So they kept on trying to stop him until time somebody took off his garment. So he got very angry. And he told him, please give me the... And then he told them, Wallahi, you will never find me stingy. And actually, I have nothing to do with this ghanima. Completely. He says, there is nothing for me to take except al-khums. Wal-khums raddun alaykum. He said, I just have the khums, which is 1/5. And this one also, I'm supposed to take it back to you. He says, but you guys give back the al-khayt wal-mikhyat. Every single tiny thing you take, the Prophet ﷺ told them to get it back. He says, also, you will never find me coward. He is referring to their attitude. Yes, now you run away. And then now you come back telling me about the ghanim. So Ash-Shahid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave the ghanima almost, you know, all of those wealth, the Arab, the mu'allafat qulub, and the muhajirun, they got the ghanima. How about the Ansar? Nothing. So they started talking about that, you know, the younger one, of course. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he called the leaders first to talk to them, and they told him who is the source of this, what he called, speeches. We're not involved. But when the Prophet ﷺ asked the leaders, "You, where is your position?" They said, "Rajul ma qawmi." They are also politicians. They said, "We are with our people." Yeah. So the Prophet ﷺ called an emergency meeting. He says, "Only Ansar can attend." So, and he asked them after they came, is there anyone who is not from you? They said, no, Ya Rasulullah, except this person. He's one of the Mawali. He's Mawla for the Ansar. That means freed slave. He wasn't from the Ansar initially, but he belongs to them before. Yeah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Mawla al-Qawmi minhu. Okay, we learn a lesson also from that. Mawla al-Qawmi minhu. So he talked to them. And subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ started to catch smartness in the speech. He says,
He says, Ansar, I heard something that reached me about from you, and you guys are seeing this and that. And then he says, why can't you just have a reflection of the facts before? Aren't you dullal, you know? You are misguided, and I brought guidance to you. You are separated and divided, and I unite you. You are this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you closer to him because of me, you know. And whatever he says, they will reply him in a very good way. And then he says, but you also, you have something to say. Didn't you come from Makkah? People are chasing you away, and we accommodate you. Didn't you do this and that, and we supported you? You know, subhanAllah, he is fighting on their behalf against what he said. And in everything he mentioned, they will take back the man to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet. And subhanAllah. And then he told them, Ya Ma'ashar al-Ansar. He said, I thought it is better to let people go back with money and animals, and you go back with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, all of them cry. And subhanAllah, they end up saying Radina bi Rasulullah, and they end up seeing that they are the one actually who won the ghanima, you know, because their ghanima is who? Rasulullah. Because he says, wallahi, if people are going to go to a wadi, I'm going to go wherever the Ansar are going. I will not join anybody else. So that's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this battle, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it all to the Muhajirina, without including the Ansar, but that was based on the siyasa al-shari'a. The maslaha necessitates that. That's why he took out the Ansar and he explained to them. So ghanima is supposed to be given to the combatants and also the muhajirin from those people who did not, muhajirin wal Ansar from those people who are living in the muhajir al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Darul Islam. For the Arab, they don't deserve anything unless if they come to the Muslim territory. قال وفيه دليل على أن الغنيمة والفيء لا يستحقها إلا المهاجرون وأن الأعراب لا حق لهم فيها إلا أن يحضروا الجهاد وإليه ذهب الشافعي وذهب غيره إلى خلافه وادعوا نسخ الحديث ولم يأتوا ببرهان على نسخه. So this is the opinion of Imam al-Shafi'i that الغنيمة لا يستحقها إلا المهاجرون وأن الأعراب لا حق لهم فيها إلا أن يحضروا الجهاد وإليه ذهب الشافعي وذهب غيره. So other than Imam Shafi'i says no, they said the hadith is mansukh, but they do not bring any دليل على نسخه. So as I said, the best opinion is that the ghanima, if he doesn't mean تغليب here, the ghanima according to the nusus is supposed to be given to both أنصار والمهاجرين amongst the fighters. المسألة الثانية في الحديث دليل على أن الجزية تؤخذ من كل كافر كتابي وغير كتابي عربي أو غير عربي. You know, the jizya, this is the tax which is imposed on the non-Muslims who agree to live with the Muslims in their territories. Right? That's the jizya. So this one is taken from who? Is it the Ahlul Kitab? Many scholars said only Ahlul Kitab. There are some scholars who said no, it's for everyone, and this is the best opinion, inshallah, azza wa jalla, because of what he will be mentioning. Because that hadith, sunnu bihim, sunnat Ahlul Kitab, is very, very clear. And also, إذا لقيت عدوك من المشركين. عدوك من المشركين. He did not differentiate between Yahud, Majus, and whatever. He just said Mushrikeen. And one of the options is the jizya. Okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Adu waka huwa am, your enemy from amongst the mushrikeen." وإلى هذا ذهب مالك والأوزاعي وغيرهما. So this is the opinion of Imam Malik and Al-Awza'i and others that the jizya is taken from who? From Ahlul Kitab and the mushrikun, ammatan, majus, whatever. Some of them said Arabs, no jizya. And this is not because they are Arabs. No, not because they have some virtues. No, because they believe that harshness on them should be more than
harshness on others. Because they believe that they are the people of the language, next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they should see the truth, you know, more than anybody else, you know. That's why they say, لَا يَنْفَعُ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا السَّيْفِ. Islam or السيف. Either he accepts Islam or خلاص. Send him to waste. Anyway, so قَالَ هُوَ عَمٌ وَإِلَى هَذَا ذَهَبَ مَالِكٌ وَالْأَوْزَاعِيُّ وَذَهَبَ الشَّافِئِيُّ إِلَى أَنَّهَا لَا تُقْبَلُ إِلَّا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمَجُوسِ عربا كانوا أو عجما لقوله صلى الله عليه لقوله سبحانه وتعالى حتى يعطوا الجزية عن يد وهم صاغرون. So Imam Shafi'i said, no, only Ahlul Kitab and Majus. Okay, Ahlul Kitab means Al-Yahud and Nasara. And Ahlul Kitab, who are Ahlul Kitab? The Jews and the Christians, right? Do they exist until now? Yes. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ they will exist. All of these statements that some people are saying that, no, they changed the religion now, they cannot be Ahlul Kitab. What are you talking about? Since before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, the religion was changed. And right after you change the system, now you are dealing with your system. It doesn't matter, whatever modification you bring is the same. Yeah. Once they introduced the shirk and those khuza'balat in the religion, before the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them, you know, after the ascendance of Isa alayhi salam to the heavens, they changed the religion. Baddalu wa harraf. So after the tabdeed, the tahrif, can we call that religion of Allah? No. Allah did not send that religion. His is pure and clean. Tu'minun bi'ba'd al-kitab wa takfurun bi'ba'd. Yeah. So this is a mixture of things. They kept some of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and they added this. So we cannot say that, oh, the addition they had in the past, okay, we just sealed that. As long as they don't add any more, then it's fine. No, we cannot say that. It's the same. Now they keep adding, right? Whatever doesn't suit them, they remove or they add, you know, it's the same. So Ahlul Kitab is somebody who claims that he is following Judaism or Christianity. He said Ahlul Kitab. And they remained. And Sus established that these ones will remain until the arrival of Isa alayhi salam. Allah says, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. Yeah. And this one, lugatan, if you look at the siyaq, إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ. This one is مُسْتَقْبَلِي. Yeah. Meaning they are going to believe in Isa alayhi salam in the future. So that shows that yes, he will be coming back and they will believe in Isa alayhi salam. So that means he says Ahlul Kitab, wa min Ahlul Kitab. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Takunu hudnatun baynakum wa bayna bani al-asfar. Banu al-asfar, since from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are known to be Ahlul al-Kitab. Yeah. So they exist and they remain. As for marrying from Ahlul Kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala halalahu. Those who said it's not halal to marry from the Ahlul Kitab, they said because nowadays they are worshipping idols. But I guess those one most likely they never read Quran, you know. Especially Surah Al-Ma'idah, maybe they skip it. Yeah, because in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we are allowed to marry Ahlul Al-Kitab. And in the same page, you get it? No, the next one. Two pages later, not the same. Two pages later, the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. You go across the end of the surah, almost the end, a few pages left, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. And لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Still in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you can marry from them and you can eat from their food. So halal is halal. It remains halal. But sometimes halal could be rejected because of other elements. Yeah. The thing itself is halal. But it might be attached to other circumstances when the scholars will tell you it is haram. So don't say no, it's haram completely no, but say it is haram because of the situations nowadays. The children are converting into Christianity. Yeah. So that's why you see some scholars are telling you that it's haram to marry from the Ahlul Kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's halal. It remains halal until the last day. But because of the situation now, you deprive people and you tell him, no, you can't do it. You cannot do it. Why you cannot do it? Because we realize that almost all the people who married from the Ahlul Kitab, their children became Christian and Jews. So what is the point of you having children, your children, because these are not our children, your children. I'm talking about the essence, you know, the children of the mother and the father. But they are attributed to the father. These are your children, and you have these children, and in front of your eyes, they will be taken by other religions. Yeah. And there's a very good objective of the Sharia that is being violated. Yeah. So that's why the scholars will tell you nowadays, no, a person cannot go for that. And as I said, I take it as an insult to the Muslim communities, Muslim sisters. And how many sisters we have on earth? Who is more actually? Sisters or brothers? Half, half? Which country you live in? Half, half. Oh, they do in, but that one is not true of that one. You mean the official one on the way? No, that one is the one that. That was just a pro. I think it just approximately, you know.
What?
Yeah, right, Abdurrahman. Right, Abdurrahman. But it doesn't go, Khalid. There are things which you can accept, but it goes. We will come. No, that one I visited from time to time to see what they're saying, but I never trusted because you see the variety in terms of, and there are some places of Oman, this system of officiating thing is not there that much. Cannot even reach them. Most of the people, and even in the city also, even in the cities, not everyone is telling the truth about what they have. Yeah, and they don't check, you know. And in some countries, honestly speaking, they just sit down and write. Yeah, they don't even go to the houses and check by themselves, they just write. Yeah. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is we do have enough, you know. And so all of those ones, none of them qualifies except that person, you know, amongst the Muslims. And what happened to Wala and Bara? Yeah, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it halal, yes, it's halal for wisdom. And that wisdom remains. But you know, sometimes objectives, you have to categorize them according to their levels. There are some which are bigger than the other one. Yeah, so you have to do this effect of awlawiyat. You favor some over the others. So the desire of a person should be, cancelled, you know, when it comes to the interest of Islam. Yeah, when you have him having the strong desire to be with this person, but at the same time, what we know is that usually he cannot be able to, protect the religion of his kid. We tell him, please, we are sorry. Go to the dunya. You will see a lot of those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said also, it goes against the wala' al-bara' and bara'. How? Because you are here saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. She's there saying Ashhadu anna Isa ibn Allah. A'udhu billah. You're saying anna Isa ibn Allah, and you are here saying Allahu wahdahu. The shirk 100% here and tawheed 100% here. But unfortunately, your tawheed actually fihi dakhan. Yeah, because you're going to be hearing these stupidities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child. And you just keep quiet. You just find it as a normal thing. And it's really dangerous to the aqidah and iman for somebody to find these type of words, you know, being normal. And to have you, you know, witnessing these things on the daily basis, it kills the sense. Yeah. You Allah. It kills that spirituality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in you, which protects you from time to time. So marrying from the Ahlul Kitab is according to the Quran, but because of the harm that exists, you know, many scholars rejected these days. Not they are rejecting the Quran, they're not, but they're just looking at the objective of the Sharia, which has been violated. The main objective of the Sharia is to preserve the religion, right? Yeah, preservation of the religion. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah says, "Awwal wajib," the first wajib on the leader is to make sure that the religion of the community is being protected. So that cannot happen when you promote marriage with the non-Muslims. If a person wants, then let him marry first, and let him convert her to Islam, and then marry her. Okay, so he says, so that's, we're talking about the jizya that is taken from the Ahlul Kitab when they live in the Muslim territory in the city of peace. قَالَ وَذَهَبَ الشَّافِئِيُّ Imam Shafi'i إِلَى أَنَّهَا لَا تُقْبَلُ إِلَّا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابُ وَالْمَجُوسِ So he says, Majus and Ahlul Kitab فقط. Majus are the fire worshippers, right? Yeah, those people who have who worship fire. Yeah, believe that Allah, al-ilah ilahan. They have two ilah, ilahul nur and ilahul dhulma. And they said, any shar that happens to you in your life, it is happening because of the ilahul dhulma. That's why the sha'ir says, any night that comes in this life, it is simply telling you that al-manawiyyatu takdhibu. Any good thing, okay, not night. He said, any good thing that happened to you at night, it is telling you that al-manawiyyatu takdhibu. The manawiyya, these are the one that says, that is ilahan. Because they said the ilahu dhulma is a source of evil. And there is no way for you to get something good at night. The whole concept is strange. So that's why the sha'ir says, whatever good thing you get in at night, is the rad and refutation against the manawiyya. Those who said no, you cannot get something good at night. Many good things happen at night. Even sleeping is a good thing, you know. Okay, so the Shafi'iyya said, we take the jizya from the Majus as well, not just Ahlul Kitab. Araban kanu aw ajama, so whether they are from the Arabs, Ahlul Kitab, or ajaman, fire worshippers, whoever they are, okay? Because we're talking about religion, not race. Anyone can join that religion. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى حَتَّى يُؤْتُوا الْجِزْيَةَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, he says, until the time they pay the jizya, right? حَتَّى يُؤْتُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ وَالْآنَ نَحْنُ نُؤْتُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ اللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانَ بَعَدَ ذِكْرِ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ So, وَلِقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ سُنُّوا بِهِمْ سُنَّةَ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sunnu bihim sunnata ahli al-kitab." You have to treat them the way you treat the ahli al-kitab concerning the Majus. And I want, as Umar was asking, what to do with the Majus? How they capture the place? How to deal with them? So somebody told him that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sunnu bihim sunnata ahli al-kitab." Okay, hadith has some questions on it, but it's a very famous hadith that most of the scholars are using to support the application of jizya in the Majus. وَمَا عَدَاهُمْ دَاخِلُونَ فِي أُمُومِ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَقَاتِلُهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً Other than them is included in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fight them until the time there is no shirk on earth. Fitna here is the shirk. وَلِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ Allah says, kill the mushrikeen. That's after the Ashur al-Hurum, right? Ashur al-Hurum, what are they? Muharram Safar, no, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab Mudar. Okay, Rajab Mudar, الذي بين جمادى وشعبان. Yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to do that because Quraysh, they have another Rajab also. Ramadan also, they used to call it Rajab. That's why he said, Rajab Mudar, الذي بين جمادى وشعبان. So that people will know what exactly is he referring to. Okay, so these are the Ashur al-Hurum. Fighting in those Ashur al-Hurum is wrong and rejected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after the Ashur al-Hurum, فَقْتُلُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُهُ Wherever you find them. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَقَاتِلُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَّةً Fight them all together. All of them. واعتذروا عن الحديث بأنه وارد قبل فتح مكة بدليل الأمر بالتحول والهجرة والآيات بعد الهجرة والآيات بعد الهجرة. فحديث بريدة منسوخ أو مؤول بأن المراد من عدوك من كان من أهل الكتاب. So since there is a hadith which says عدوك and it's seasonal, they have to provide تأويل for that. Yeah, they have to provide تأويل for that. That's why they said the hadith of Buraida, عدوك is restricted with أهل الكتاب. They get ideas. So they are taking the مطلق على الحمل المطلق على المقيد. المقيد هنا حتى يعطوا الجزية من الذين أوتوا الكتاب حتى يعطوا الجزية because Allah سبحانه وتعالى says من الذين أوتوا الكتاب حتى يعطوا الجزية. So that's why they said it is مقيد بتلك النصوص التي تدل على التخصيص. قال الذي يظهر عموم أخذ الجزية من كل كافر لعموم حديث بريدة هذا. So الأمير الصنعاني said what appears to me is that jizya should be taken from everyone because this hadith of Buraida is am. Yeah, hadith of Buraida is am. And if you go through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when did he start fighting the Ahlul Kitab? It was across the end of his life. Yeah. A hadith of jizya that came, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about the aduwa kamil al-mushrikeen, you know. And mostly these are the Arabs. Yeah, these are the Arabs. So that's why the opinion of majority of the scholars is the best opinion, wallahu alam, that jizya is taken from everyone. وَأَمَّا الْآيَةُ فَأَفَادَتْ أَخْذَ الْجِزْيَةِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَمْ تَعْتَرِدْ لِأَخْذِهَا مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ وَلَا لِأَدَمِ أَخْذِهَا. Because sometimes you are talking about a specific group of people, you talk about their ahkam. But when you don't mention others, it doesn't mean others are not included also. Because we are talking about these ones, so you restrict yourself to them alone. But you have other nusus which talk about others also. Yeah, that's the approach of the majority of the scholars, that Allah talk about Ahlul Kitab because the issue is about them. If you look at the siyaq, it's all about Ahlul Kitab. It's all about Ahlul Kitab. وَالْحَدِيثُ بَيَّنَ أَخْذَهَا مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ وَحَمْلُ عَدُوِكَ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فِي غَايَةِ الْبُعْدِ. So hadith of Buraida shows that jizya is, could be taken from other than the Ahlu al-Kitab. And saying that aduka huna is just Ahlu al-Kitab, he says it's too far, ba'id. Yeah. Taking it as Ahlu al-Kitab is ba'id. And since it is ba'id, then we don't go for it. وإن قال ابن كثير في الإرشاد أن آية الجزية إنما نزلت بعد انقضاء حرب المشركين وعبدة الأوثان ولم يبقى بعد نزولها إلا أهل الكتاب قاله تقوية لمذهب إمامه الشافعي. الأمير السنعاني أقيد ثقيل يعني. He says ابن كثير, he was saying that the ayah was revealed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم after the battle with the mushrikeen is over. So at the time it was revealed, there was nothing left except fighting the Ahlul Kitab. And that means the hukum is restricted to them, right? So Al-Amir Sanani says he is just saying this to support the madhab of his imam. Because Ibn Kathir al-Shafi. Qala wa la yakhfa بطلان دعواه أنه لم يبقى بعد نزول آية الجزية إلا أهل الكتاب. البقي عباد النيران من أهل فارس وروم وعباد الأصنام من أهل الهند. الهند. So الأمير الصنعاني says no, there's still some apart from أهل الكتاب. You have عباد النيران, you have عباد الأصنام. Yeah, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم always almost يعني خلاص was done with the Arabs, you know. So now is the time to expand the mission to others, you know. Okay, so that's the best place, inshallah, to stop. The best opinion is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. Inshallah, in the next class, do we have another class? One more, right? Yeah. Okay, one more class, and that class, please get a lot of questions because I have only a few things left. So I would not, most likely I would not touch any hadith. Let's make it question and answer discussion session. Bring any matter that we will come and discuss and fight here, inshallah. Yeah. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. عبد الرحمن, why can't you forget classes? You know, because I was so silent, I was so happy today. Rida did not talk to me about the Asma'ullah al-Husna, and Sister Munni did not say anything. So I was just planning to enjoy my life alone, and then I see Abdurrahman sending message. Next time, just sleep, you know. You also be like, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I got it. What I will say is, first of all, Allahumma ista'an, in this life, a person should just look into that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to do and get busy with that. That's why we don't judge Islam based on the attitude and the manners of people. Not everyone is following what he says. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَعْلُ. Why do you say what you don't do? You know? So you find a lot of Muslims, you know, including those who believe they are upon the correct manhaj, but unfortunately, in their behaviors and their manners, they're different. My responsibility, your responsibility, their responsibility is to stick to the truth, which is based on the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and try our best to make sure that we follow that one. That's why the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is based on, simply based on following Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sticking to that. And if you go inside that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you see nothing other than love, you know, and cooperation, solidarity, and inviting people to the truth, using wisdom when you deal with others. You know, we have all of these. We're not supposed to be harsh in our approaches. Yeah, that's not the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're supposed to stick to the truth and not to compromise any part of the truth. But at the same time, we become people who opens the door for others. We deal with others with good manners, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Yeah, we listen to their complaints. We try to resolve their complaints and put them in the right place. And also at the same time, if they are in need of guidance, we guide them using the best way and the wisdom. Because the idea is to see them following what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not to take them away from the right track. So my advice is not to get distracted with what people are doing nowadays. Always focus on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to focus on, to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam precisely, with no modification. Yeah, whether anyone is following or nobody is following, it doesn't matter. Yeah. My job and your job and the job of everyone is to stick to that. You know, my dua is I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get the Muslim back to the track and follow the right way. You're right, I agree with you. Many people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I got what you are saying, absolutely, and I support that. But I'm just telling you, see, we are just advisors. This issue and a matter of imposing approach on others, this is job of the authority. As Ibrahim, Abdurrahman, Khalid, Awfa, and the rest, our job is just to advise, and we have been doing that. But you know, not everyone is willing to listen. You know, there are some people, they know that this is the truth, and they know that this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted them to do. They know that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to do, but they don't do. So my job is not to get bored, is to keep on tracing them, those guys, and advising them on what to do, on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to have the best approach in this life. Yeah, so I get what you are saying, and I understand your feeling, and I can give you also my own examples of the Muslims who are claiming to be upon the truth, but they are not doing the correct thing according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But my thing is, as Ibrahim, very humble and somebody who is trying to see how to give tarbiyah to his house, you know, I don't have any authority except to advise. And this is what we have been doing. Whenever we find somebody who is having these useless and wrong approaches, we advise them to have the good ones. Inshallah, slowly, slowly, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will reach the correct way. If what? Listen. That's what I have been trying to let you know. Religion and the practices of others are two different things. Human beings, they are supposed to accept Islam, and they must accept Islam and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must. But it is not wajib upon me to accept a certain group of people, whatever they are doing. So somebody claims he is Muslim, but he's not practicing Islam. I detach myself from him, but I am Muslim. Yeah, because religion doesn't tell him to do what he is doing. You get the idea? Claiming that he is Muslim and he is doing stupidity doesn't mean Islam is bad. Do you get it? Yeah, we have to have this segregation between the actions of others and the religion itself. The religion is pure and clean, no injustice against anyone. But are we doing what the religion asks, or we're not doing? That's something else. So that person who is not doing, I reject him. But his actions have nothing to do with the religion. Yeah, the religion says this is what to be done, but he's not doing. Does that mean the religion is corrupt? No. Because this is not his religion, this is Allah's religion. It's good that this religion is Allah's religion, not somebody else's religion. Yeah, that's why many people will tell you that, alhamdulillah, we accepted Islam before we know so and so and so person. Because if we have met him before, we might not accept Islam, because they will think that Islam is like that. But they will tell you, alhamdulillah, we know Islam before. Then we see what Islam is, so we know that this attitude is not Islam. This is his attitude. So we reject him. But we have the pure and the correct and the true religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's how we should get it. I really advise you to relax and keep your religion and your adherence and allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any other question? No question. Okay, thank you, Ravia, for the question. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah grant us tawfiq and good and be with us wherever we are. Huh? What is that?
Yeah, inshallah, things are going to be better. Bismillah, inshallah.
Question by Sister Shefa.
Okay, that's Sister from Sister Shefa. Okay. And no Sali Afdal.
Yeah.
No Sali Afdal. Sister Shefa, I will deal with that question. Okay, inshallah, things will be better. Inshallah, inshallah. The victory will be with the true religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a day will come. You will see most of the Muslims are doing the right thing. As long as we do not sleep, we keep giving the da'wah with wisdom, with hikmah, in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gradually and slowly, slowly, the time will come. You will see what makes you happy in every Muslim, inshallah, azza wa jalla, inshallah. Thank you very much. Salam.